Another week, another podcast. We're back, the Monstruck Outlaws List podcast, episode number 36. Phil, I like the shirt you got on.
Why, thank you. I figured we're going to go a little down under tonight, so I'd wear the Outback Thunder shirt.
Perfect. Perfectly fitting for tonight. Well, our guest tonight is somewhat obvious. Thanks, Phil. So without further ado, Phil, you want to introduce our guest tonight?
Oh, of course. Make sure everybody that's tuning in now, you like and share this video before we get started so everybody could jump in and enjoy our conversation here tonight, our podcast with someone that's traveled the globe. And, you know, a lot of drivers are very blessed to travel abroad and make their name outside of the traditional United States. Our guest has made it a huge part of his career, and he's still going strong today. You see it up there in the caption. He was the first driver of Blacksmith in Raptors Rampage, and now he's the current driver of whatever body's on that truck. It's either Wicked, American Soldier, or the V8 Bomber. Our guest tonight is veteran driver Corey Clark.
Welcome to the show, Corey. How are you doing tonight?
Great. Thanks for having me on, you guys. This is an honor. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's an honor having you on tonight. Phil, I'm definitely excited for this episode. What about you?
Absolutely. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of stories to be told, and can't wait to take a trip back down memory lane.
Well, let's start it off with Corey. How did you get your start in the motorsports industry?
Well, that's quite a story. So, go back to 1995, and I was working at an off-road shop in Twin Falls, Idaho, and we had a truck called Bounty Hunter on display. And the guy that was drove in to drive Bounty Hunter was Craig Christensen, and he let me crew for him. So I crewed for him that night, and I thought, you know, I really want to do this. I've always wanted to do monster trucks. I've always said I wanted to do monster trucks, but I never pursued it. I always did businesses. So anyway, thought I was going to get into the monster truck business. I ended up having a chance to buy that off-road shop. 2 years later, in 1997, I see a Bounty Hunter on display. I drive up there, take a look at it. It's Jimmy Creighton. So I talked to him about it, told him that I'd had that truck on display at our off-road shop. And he's like, hey, can you crew for me tonight? I'm like, yeah, you bet I can crew for you. I'll get your family tickets, he says. Great. So I crewed for Jimmy in Kalispell, Montana, my hometown. Then the next week, Kenny says, I'll pay you if you want to crew for me in Butte, Montana. So Jimmy paid me to crew for him in Butte, and I'm getting to kind of like this. And he invites me to another show in Wyoming, pays me to do that. And then he asked me if I want to do a 1-month, 2-month tour through California. Great. I'd love to. So We load up, head out with Jimmy. He goes, we got to stop at a buddy's shop first, which happened to be Craig Christensen. I'm like, hey, I know you. I crewed for you in Twin Falls, Iowa, and you drove Bounty Hunter and beat everybody. Just blew him away. I was really impressed. He didn't remember who I was. So, anyway, we're on tour. I'm the crew guy. First show is Boise, Idaho, on the way to California. Jimmy drives Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday he's like, man, I got to let you go as crew guy. I'm like, wow, what are you talking about? I didn't think I was that bad. He goes, no, I'm going to let you go as crew guy. I want you to drive. Really? He goes, how do you think you'll do? I don't know. I've never driven one before. So Craig had talked Jimmy Creighton into putting me in the seat. They take me out in the field. I run the truck down the field, run it back, and they put me in the show. I won 3 out of 4 races that day, and Jimmy says, that's it. You're driving from now on. I'm the proud owner and crew guy. So there's how it all started.
That's an incredible, you know, start to get going there. It, you know, from just a chance display and you're just off to the races. Did you see yourself driving a monster truck at that juncture?
No. You know, when I was younger in high school, I told everybody I was going to drive monster trucks. And when I got out of the Army, I said I was going to go drive monster trucks. Honestly, by the time I hit 29 years old, I thought the dream was gone. It just wasn't going to happen for me. So that was just a fluke.
Right. So your first event, I know you just briefly touched on it. Where was it? And, you know, what was going through your mind that moment when you were first in the truck?
Well, I was real comfortable in the truck because I got to work on it for a few shows. I had no idea, but got to the starting lineup. We were in Boise, Idaho at the fairgrounds. And boy, when the light went green and I launched it, you couldn't get me out of the seat. I was sold. I was done. That's what I knew I wanted to do.
So then where do you go from after that? Your first events, you're driving more often afterwards?
Yeah, so I got to drive the California tour, Arizona. Boy, we just had a great time. Jimmy had me full-time driving, learning a lot with Craig Christensen on the side there. By the time we finished that tour, Jimmy and I split ways, and Craig hired me. So, but going to work for Craig Christensen, going back as a crew guy and part-time driver, which gave me a lot more chance to learn all the work in and outs of the trucks, how the shows ran. It was a lot of hard work because I crewed for both of his trucks and then got to be part-time driver. Got a lot better experience that way, a lot more confident in the seat. And then slowly Craig would put me into more and more driving. Just had a blast. I was just living high on the hog, really enjoying life, loving what we were doing. Talk about adventures. There's a lot of stories hidden in some of those shows.
Oh, I bet. So what was it like working with Jimmy Creighton? I know so many people have a lot of different tales, but what was it like from maybe those early days when, you know, Jimmy was just also getting started in the sport?
Same thing, a lot of hard work. Jimmy and I got along great. We didn't agree on everything towards the end, but still to this day, you know, we can still talk. It was just, you know, we were young. I had a family. It was tough to try and balance all of that. Didn't know, you know, where there was no money back then. That was tough. Living in the van, doing whatever it took to get, you know, to try and make this happen. And I wouldn't trade that for anything.
So did Craig or Jim give you any advice when you were behind the wheel of a truck?
Craig's constantly telling me how to drive better, watching him. Even, you know, I still work for Craig to this day. And, you know, there's always something that somebody else can see when they're watching you. I've even been able to give Jim Creighton advice in the past. He's asked me, you know, after years and years of driving. You know, there's always something new to learn. These trucks constantly are changing. And they just told me, you know, the day you think you know it all, that truck will come back and bite you in the butt.
So now with Craig Christensen, what are you doing off the bat? Are you also driving a truck or just back to just working on the trucks?
Right now? Or
back then.
Back then?
Yes.
Okay, so I was full-time crew guy and part-time driver. So I got to drive Misbehavin', which they wouldn't tell anybody it was me, so I had to wear her outfit. Because sometimes she would have to leave the show early, and I'd get to jump in and finish. Craig put me in Dragon Slayer, which was in Hawaii. Great honor. I've driven that truck quite a few times. But learning how to be the crew guy and part-time driver, like I said, it's you've got to learn how to work on them, at least in the business and the guys I was working for. You have to be able to fix everything. And Craig's one of those guys. Jimmy both, they can, you know, Craig's taught me a lot, and I know he's taught Jimmy a lot. The skills that he has to keep those trucks running on a lower budget is amazing. And I've been able to follow in his footsteps somewhat, but, you know, what an honor.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Craig is one of the brightest minds in the business. There's a reason why he's still going as strong as he was back then today. And, you know, I look at some of those early moments of you driving, you know, trucks for Team KCM, and I'm pretty sure that there was a well-known wreck that you had at that event in Hawaii. I could be mistaken, but do you recall going down to Hawaii and wadding up the truck?
actually, that destroyed the body of Dragon Slayer. And that was a pretty close call. That had a big 572 engine in it. That truck was fast, really fast. Great racing. It just, what actually happened is I lost the front tire, ripped it right off. It tore right through the hood. Everything wasn't too bad for me. It was the next night, Craig jumped in it. He knew that front tire was going to come off, so he turned into it and it came underneath the truck. He wanted to stop the tire from going anywhere, and it barrel rolled him. It finished the truck. We sent that truck back to the United States in a container, all wadded up. Somewhere, I know there's a picture of it. We'll have to post that on Facebook. But yeah. And the caption above the picture where the truck's all wrecked shows Craig putting Corey in a bunch of the, you know, little cuss word things on there. And I'm like, that wasn't my fault.
So from those early days at Team KCM, was there a truck that you took a liking to more than one of the others, whether it be just the identity or just that physical chassis?
The chassis that Craig built for Captain Insano, the Hummer. I fit that really well, and I was just a part-time driver for that one, but I jumped in that, and everything just clicked. We were winning, doing great, had a great time in that truck. All of his trucks were fun to drive. When I would drive Dragon Slayer, though, his seat is so big that I couldn't see over the steering wheel, and we would have to take the pillows from the hotel and stuff them under the seat so that I could see over the wheel. I could fit in the seat. A lot of people didn't know I didn't fit in that seat very well.
So you're mentioning a bit here that you were a part-time driver, and you know still are in so many aspects. I know you just mentioned, you know, having to stuff pillows to get where you need to be in the truck, but what were some of the other challenges? Maybe if you have to jump in, like for instance, BJ Johnson was in the truck before you. What were some of the challenges to readjust before you went back out on the track?
I drove BJ's truck, his Captain Insano, and oh my gosh, he is an amazing driver because that truck was all over the place. It was so loose. He could make it look like it was doing great, but he put me in the truck out there, I think it was in Oregon one time, and I couldn't get that truck to do anything. I was all over the place, still having fun, doing well, but you know, really having to work hard to make that truck do anything. And then he gets in, and he's just so used to it, he can make it do anything he wanted to. Just, you know, a lot of fun to watch these guys, even though I started before him.
Yeah, that's always interesting how so many other people came after you and you were involved with them in so many capacities. And, you know, when you were early on in the sport, obviously, you know, you're around Craig Christensen and Jimmy Crediton a lot. But who were some of the other competitors or people around the events that maybe you took a liking to or helped you along the way in those early years? Corey, you got a copy?
Looks like he might be frozen.
Folks, we may have lost Corey Clark.
Oh, no.
Well, he's there. He can't hear us. I'll send a message out to Corey here, make sure he can rejoin here. Drop him off the screen here, Vincent, as we get Corey back in.
But, yeah, while we're waiting, if you have any good Corey Clark stories, feel free to mention them in the comments. And we'll get to them once Corey comes back.
Man, I hope he's not telling that story and we can hear him. Okay, I see him back in. Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what happened there.
Nope, you're all clear. I just was sending you a message, so you're good.
Okay, yeah, all just kind of glitched out. So basically, I believe the question he asked is, you know, what other people influenced me? And there's so many people that have been in the business since day one. Bob Chandler, Dennis Anderson, the list goes on. Of course, the closest one is Craig Christensen, of course. But my gosh, I worked with Pablo. Of course, Pablo called me to have me come down and I got to help build Blacksmith, and then I got to drive Blacksmith. So I was the first one to debut that. What an influence he was. I've been around, I know just about everybody. I don't know a lot of the new people coming in anymore, but there is a whole list of names of people that have helped me out to get me where I am today. And I wish I had all those names. Dan Patrick, worked with him quite a bit, all through Craig. Tom Mintz, a lot of the Bigfoot, we used to run with a lot of the Bigfoot guys. Eric Tack, Eric Meager, Petroline, Rick Petroline, and then Barefoot, Todd Frolic. Back then it was just, what a family oriented bunch of guys. Everybody bent over to help each other. And that's on today. If you break, there, we're back. Just blanked out for a little bit, but all the guys in the monster truck industry help each other out. They're the best racing things I've ever been able to be involved in.
Absolutely. Hey Corey, your connection's still a little fuzzy. If you can log on with your cell phone by any chance, just so we don't keep losing you here as we keep going, that'd be perfect. I will, if you can get that message through your cell phone. Okay.
Let's do that and see what happens.
Perfect. Okay, so Corey. Yes, sir. Vincent, if you want to pull up on screen here as we're bringing Corey back into frame here, just want to make sure that everybody can hear Corey as we keep going here with the podcast. I totally get it. We've got a lot of technology running these things these days, so just want to make sure everybody can hear everything, and we don't miss anything. We don't leave any stones unturned.
We'll give this a shot here, trying to get on the phone. Sorry, guys. Normally, this works great.
Nope, no problem. That's just because all the people are tuning in. They're frying our servers, so
yep.
Take that as a positive.
Let's see if we can get this on the phone here, and in the meantime, we'll see whatever questions you've got.
All part of live broadcasting.
All good. Don't worry. while Corey is transferring over, make sure everybody that's watching right now, make sure you like this video and make sure you share this video too. As many people tune in live here and join us so everybody can hear Corey's story, more the merrier. If you have any questions for Corey, make sure to leave them in the comments. We'll get to them at some point during tonight's broadcast, or any comments as well as we continue on here with Corey Clark.
Okay, open with Chrome. Copy. Yeah, crazy how this internet's not working really well right now, but
everybody you'd else. You'd be surprised. Yeah, you'd be surprised. We've
it'll go bad, then it'll clear up. That's the problem.
All right.
I lost you that one time.
Here we go. We're working on it. Your broadcast studio.
Mute.
All right. Got a little bit of a pivot here. Can you hear us, see us?
Yeah. Let me shut this off. There we go.
Here we go.
All right. Lights on, and if you could just tilt your phone, like, sideways, fancy way.
Not upside.
Oh, actually, it's probably got to stay up forward. Usually, it, the camera changes when you tilt it sideways. Yeah, so. It
all right, let's
all right, perfect. We'll, is that we'll roll with that. That works with us. So okay. We're back in motion here with Corey Clark. We'll jump back into the timeline. I know he was just mentioning it. You had a big opportunity with Pablo Huffaker, and you got to be the first driver of Blacksmith. How did that come about? Did Pablo just call you out of the blue? How did you get from Team KCM to Blacksmith?
Well, we've run with Pablo when I was running with Craig, and so got to know everybody really well. And the word was out. Craig had BJ Johnson, and I only had time. I was running a hotel, a health club, and a bunch of other stuff for my dad and stepmom in Crestview, Colorado. So I didn't have a whole lot of full time anymore. And so Pablo, you know, was looking for somebody that had some experience to come down and help him finish the truck. And as you call around, Dennis Anderson knew that I was available. Craig knew, and a few other people. So Pablo gives me a call, says, "Hey, what are you doing? I need your help." You bet. I'll be right down. That was great. So what an honor to help, you know, build that truck and watch it come together. And it wasn't until later that I found out that they were going to offer me the position to drive it. So when that came about, I was ecstatic. That truck, you know, as we were building that truck, everything got to be built around me. So automatically, I fit in that truck perfectly. That was one of those trucks and chassis you were talking about earlier that everything just clicks. Pablo and I were first and second every night through the show. That truck couldn't do no wrong. I fit perfect in it. Everything went well. I was really comfortable in that truck. Had a lot of fun in that truck. It's one of my favorites. Almost between that and Wicked, those are two of my favorite trucks. But yeah, what an honor to be the first person to drive that truck and run it as far as I got to go. And then, of course, reality sets in. It's time to go back to work and come home and take care of everything else and then watch somebody else get to drive it.
So being that Blacksmith is a pretty unique truck, how did that truck land or handle compared to previous trucks you've driven?
At that point in time, it was probably one of the nicest trucks I've driven. Like I said, everything got to be set around me. It landed great, handled great. We had the new truck blues when we first built it. There were things that went wrong. We were in Oakland, California, and I came in through the tunnel and hit the brakes for intros, and it shot an axle out, which, of course, is no front brakes after that, and skidded in, hit the cars, and everybody thought it was meant to be, but no, it wasn't. There were some other things, rear steering issues, just any new truck blues, but once they were dialed in, you couldn't stop that truck. Even Dennis Anderson said one time, he goes, "Man, that truck and you drive like it's on rails." It was just amazing to drive. But, you know, and then technology now, even from that truck to today, what a difference in our shock absorbers and everything else. I would still like to have that truck. There's a couple trucks I'd like to have back, and that would be Craig Christensen's Captain Insano, the Hummer body. That truck, I couldn't do anything wrong. And Blacksmith, those were two great trucks. A lot of fun to drive. Amazing.
And one of those fun moments, I know we have the picture in our folder here if Vincent wants to pull it up, was in Vancouver. He went for a wild ride in Blacksmith. It was in our intro video. I think it's made every Crash Madness DVD. Yes. Do you remember this hit? And walk us through it.
So that was another great show. We're having a lot of fun. Everybody kept getting stuck on top of that school bus. And in my mind, I am not going to get stuck on top of that school bus. So I came in a little hot and heavy and did not get stuck. Came right off that. The rear tires hit the bus. kicked the rear end up, came down on its nose, and I definitely didn't want to nose over, so I throttled out heavy, pulled the nose back up, wheelied down, blew a tire, and shut it off, and just it laid over after that. That was a wild ride, that was for sure.
It's kind of interesting how that's become like your defining moment in blacksmith, just that one wreck.
Yeah, none of the fancy saves that happened. The first night out in Oakland or Oklahoma City, hit the van stack and put that thing on two wheels and drove it around for two wheels till it came back down. I'd love to see the video of that. None of the great saves are on video, just my crashes.
I hear you there, Vincent. Do you have a fan comment you want to bring up?
Yes, we do. This one is from one of your fellow competitors. It's Rudy Martin Del Campo. He says, Corey was the first racing competitor I lost to, and he was the first person I won against. Hope to see you and Craig soon at events. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch Rudy drive. You know, he's new to the sport. Fun guy to be around and watch him learn. You know, the truck he was driving, the shocks weren't working so good. And he went out there and launched that thing. He comes down. He says, you know, that hurt. So first thing Craig does is tell him, pull those shocks apart. Let's see what's in them and fix them. Can't have you hurting those. But, yeah, he's not afraid of anything. Good guy. Hard worker, too.
That's always good to see, and always a fierce competitor and a good friend. It's always good to see Rudy. But, you know, looking back at the blacksmith days, how long were you in blacksmith for?
You know, I only got to be in blacksmith for the first quarter. So by the time they got ready for world finals, I was out. I was gone. But I don't even know how many shows we did. We did the end of December, all of January, and part of February. So that school bus wreck was my last time in blacksmith right there.
Now, maybe we've gotten too much closed doors here, but whose reasoning was it for you to step out of that truck?
Pretty much Pablo and I both. He told me that truck needs to be, you know, a moneymaker, and I was driving over my head a little bit, and it just, you know, when you're on the road with people that long, you can't always agree on everything, and you need a good night's sleep before you make decisions. But we decided to just part ways. You know, we get along to this day. But at that point in time, it was time to separate.
And that's just the nature of the beast and monster trucks. And it's definitely one of those arts that you don't realize it until you're in the business. It's just the way that the machine runs.
Well, exactly. There's no hard feelings. We can joke around a lot about it now, but yeah, and the longer you're in the business, the more you see people come and go. You can't stay with somebody that long on the road. Even Craig and I spend that much time together on the road. It's a battle once in a while, but at the end of the day, we still figure out how to make it work.
See another great fan comment, Vincent. You want to pull it up?
Yes, we got one from another fellow competitor from Rat Attack. It's Jacob Ladwig, and Jacob says, Corey is such an awesome guy. Always love running with you and just an all-around good guy to be around and can make a weekend fun. Hope to be running with you again soon this year sometime.
Yeah, fun to watch Jacob. Boy, he can really make that truck move. I guess he's one of the only ones, that, you know, like I said, those trucks that fit people. Other people couldn't make that truck do the things he does. A lot of fun to race with him. Good competitor. Pretty much happy all the time. You know, we're there to have fun. We're there to entertain people. And that's what it comes down to. We're not there to fight and argue or anything. Take what you've given and make the best of it.
It's always good to see your fellow competitors in the chat here. And now's a good time. Make sure, since we have Corey back live here, make sure you're sharing this video and you're liking this video as we continue on the timeline here with Corey Clark, our guest tonight. And so, Corey, you step out of blacksmith. Where do you go after that?
Okay, so I had a full-time job in Crested Butte at the resort, had an off-road shop, had a tow company. Like I said, we had a health club, hotel, restaurants. That kept me busy, but it worked out good because I'd get a phone call from Craig Christensen, and he'd say, what are you doing? I'd be like, where am I going?
and he would get me on a plane and send me somewhere or catch up with him. So he kept me in the sport the whole time, even if it was just part-time. I could go to Canada. I could go anywhere. I could pretty much just take off at a moment's notice when his guy couldn't do it. And that kept me in the sport part-time, clear up till, 2009, he brought me back full-time. So from 2001 to 2009, I was a part-time driver. And it worked out great for me. I was able to balance my home life, my business, and still be able to go race and be somewhat competitive and be able to jump into anybody's truck. That was one of the things I was known for is Scott Heaton, our buddy, the announcer, is like, man, he goes, you can just jump in any truck. He goes, I never know where I'm going to see you pop up. And that was, I thought, quite an honor to hear him say something like that.
Yeah, I that's such a good point. That's exactly for a lot of events. You still kind of do that today. And, you know, that's a big chunk of time where you're just freelancing, being a part-time driver. In that chunk of time, how much did the sport evolve from your standpoint, knowing that maybe you're not on the road every weekend, but every single time you're there, it changed?
Oh, big time change. You know, we would have to go over the truck and Craig would show me updates or whoever I was driving for. I made the mistake one time of not going through a truck. I got in a truck in, Greeley, Colorado, and a nice truck. It was Extreme Whiplash. And the first night I won everything. And the second night I didn't go through the truck. I didn't check the shocks. I jumped in, strapped in, and in the very first jump, it landed so hard, it fractured three of my vertebrae. I was out for a year. But like I said, I've learned to ask questions. If you haven't been in it every day, it's like, you know, what's changed on the shocks? And now, like I said, I've learned so much. I've been able to educate people. When I put them in a truck now, for their first time, I know how to set their belts properly. I can set all their shocks properly. It's either Craig Christensen or myself. I don't let anybody else set my shocks for me anymore after that one time. And I'll do it for other people too. I'm just after learning that, what a hard hit. It wasn't even a big jump. Amazing what, you know, the technology changes constantly because of things like that. We're constantly upgrading. So if you're not in it every day, you've got to take a look and ask questions and say, what's changed here? Everything from rear steering, front steering, seats. What a big change the seats are. You know, now we wear Hans or we used to just have the foam neck braces. And I can remember jumping a few times and that neck brace would blow off and it just rip right off, fall in the truck, be out on the track somewhere. But now that we've got running Hans and Defenders, what else? What's there? Some other ones, but what a difference. And then we've got the seats with the head restraints, you know. Used to be able to look around and see what was going on, and now you're in there just like NASCAR. So it constantly is changing. Even just, you know, I've been doing this – the last 2 years have been full-time for Craig. We did Toughest Tour and then Hot Wheels. And just in those times from my truck from Wicked, changing Wicked from when we started Toughest Tour till today, huge amount of improvements we've done on there. We've taken the shocks off, completely redone them. Axles, what an improvement. My seat, I got a seat custom built for me. My steering has changed. I've quickened my steering. My rear steer is all electronic eyes. Like I said, there's just so many things on there that change constantly. And for some guys, it makes it better, and some guys, it doesn't.
I definitely hear you there. And it's such an evolution. And now, you know, you fast forward to a lot of the current stuff, and you mentioned you guys were full-time on the Toughest Tour. It's really like the first time you've been a full-time driver and for such a good chunk, and you're on a tour, established tour, and you're doing the points and you're running for the championship. What were those experiences the last couple of years with the Toughest Tour?
It's Toughest Tour. That is tough. And when I got Wicked to go on Toughest Tour, we didn't have a whole lot of money. And the poor truck, they'd blown up the motor up here in Montana, the good motor. So we had to put the spare in, which was old and weak. So I didn't have the horsepower everybody did. It was poor old truck, poor old Wicked, I'd say, if you watch the videos where everybody else can come to the cars and launch it, Wicked's got to get a running start at it. So there was a lot of work involved to stay competitive with those guys. I mean, they just left me all over the track. But I'll tell you what, that was definitely one of the most fun tours I've done in this whole career, that and Hot Wheels. What an honor to be able to, at this late stage in my age, to be able to run with those guys. And they run hard. They run really hard. It's, like I said, toughest tour for a reason. Those trucks are launching hard, breaking parts. And that's, I enjoy that. I've enjoyed every bit of it. And, you know, and to be full time, I get to tweak the truck my way. Craig gives me pretty well free rein to adjust it to my way and make it better, make it fit me. And I could have used one more toughest tour. That would have been nice after I had my truck all decked out, but I was lucky to get one.
So on the topic of driving Wicked for the toughest Moss truck tour, I mean, that truck is pretty unique. You got one of the most unique bodies on the circuit. What's the visibility like with that truck?
The visibility is fine in that. I didn't seem to have too much of a problem. I was running one of Craig's old seats. So then again, I sat down in there and we'd stack some of those gel, the Costco gel pillows underneath there. But Wicked, I can see everything just fine. You know, that truck, Wicked, the body got destroyed in Kalispell, the last show I did. There's nothing left of that body, unfortunately.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah, I didn't even get a piece to hang on the wall. That's how bad it is.
Dang. Oh, well, at least you can run the American Soldier body from time to time. I'm sure that's got to be a cool body for you to represent.
Yeah, now that's another honor to be able to do that. I was in the Army, so I feel that it's okay to go ahead and drive that. There are other people that are more deserving to drive the American Soldier. So what an honor for me to run that. I've had a lot of fun. I did first kind of a backflip and a half failure on that and destroyed the American Soldier body. There was really nothing wrong with it till Craig let me drive it.
Well, and then they put you in the V8 bomber for the Hot Wheels Monster Trucks Live. I know you had some wild runs in that truck too, but what was your reaction when you found out that you're going to be representing Hot Wheels and you're going over to Europe?
Well, and that was another part that didn't happen until last minute, so it wasn't anything we could really plan for. That was another honor. Boy, that was great. Another great group of people to run with. We had so much fun. And Hot Wheels is – this new show is geared towards these young kids and family-oriented, very family-oriented. Heck of a production. You wouldn't believe – how much it takes to set up those shows, from everything from the camera crews to the lights to the TVs, the sound system. It's like a mini concert. So I was just in awe to be able to run with these guys and do all this. And, you know, through the toughest tour, I didn't have any body damage. I didn't roll over once, and we ran hard. And then with Hot Wheels, they said, we don't want any body damage. We want you guys to go run as hard as you can, but keep it safe. Stay away from hurting anything. And I rolled the V8 bomber the very first night and and the very last night of the tour also. So V8 bomber was home in a bunch of pieces.
I think we have a picture from that first rollover if you want to pull it up here, Vincent, in the archives.
There it is.
Yeah. That was the very first night. I think that was Manchester. Can't remember, or Birmingham, one of the two. Yeah, a lot of fun to do in these shows. It's still full bore competition, but you got to take it easy. It's small indoors. The raw cars will throw you. They're a lot smaller than what we used to hit, and those cars will throw you any which way. But good group of guys, a lot of fun. You know, I'm just blessed to have been able to do all these things.
So many great opportunities, and, you know, looking back on the Hot Wheels, the V8 bomber, it's right in your same wheelhouse, you know, a lot of military themes on the truck. Did you have any say on what truck you were going to run, or it was just a perfect match?
Yeah, that was just a perfect match. Had absolutely no say what truck we were going to run. We didn't even know until the last minute either what bodies we were getting. So at the last minute, we were trying to fit that body on my truck. But I was excited. I really liked that body style. I liked that truck. I liked that identity. And being able to put that on my truck, my Wicked chassis, I felt right at home.
Got a comment here from Kevin Danz, and he says, one of the best drivers I've been around ever since we got our driver's license in Big Fork, Montana.
Yeah. No, I was kind of a crazy driver in high school. So, yeah, a lot of these guys, that's how I'm known. If they could see me drive today, they wouldn't think it was the same person. I save it all for the track now and I drive very cautiously on the highways.
Another question here from Chris Otto, and he says, how long did you run for Monster Jam?
Well, Craig used to run for Monster Jam too, so I ran Monster Jam with Pablo in Blacksmith, and then whatever Monster Jam shows Craig did with his trucks. So it was all part-time. I really don't remember because I would just get the occasional call to come run. So I didn't get to run full-time except for Blacksmith first quarter.
And another one of our loyal fans in the comments from the Warhead, Mini Monsters, Mike Menner, says, any big projects at Craig's shop?
At the moment, no. The trucks are on display with Hot Wheels in Six Flags under Georgia right now. We got to take them down there and set them all up. What an incredible thing that was to see. There's over 50 displays. Bigfoot's down there. Straight Up Racing's down there. The Groth Twins. Just a lot of neat people. That was another fun thing I just went down and helped Craig set up for. So, no, as far as any major projects right now, not until we get the trucks back.
Sorry, Mike. then I got another comment here from Mitch Murphy. He says, you have wrecked everything you have ever driven from what I can remember as your best friend.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mitch Murphy. Yeah, he's been around long enough to see. I think I've even wrecked some of his stuff, too. I know I have.
You're a wild man. But now you've mentioned – You've been very blessed for so many great opportunities and travel around the world. And I know we try to stay on a timeline, but we bounced around a bit. So now we're going to bounce back to such a huge part of your career. And that was down in Australia. How in the world did you end up down in Australia?
So same thing again, Craig calls, says, what you doing? I said, where am I going? He says, you need to come down to World Finals. Got some people you need to meet. Just hang out. So hung out at World Finals, got to see a bunch of old people, friends, everybody I'd run with, hang out, just like normal, just hanging out and having fun. And then had dinner with a gentleman by the name of Clive Featherby and his family. And that's all we did. We didn't do much. We just talked a little bit, had dinner, and watched the World Finals. And then I went home. And then a little bit later, a couple months later, I get a phone call, says, you're going to Australia. Looked at my wife, says, can I go? And she says, yeah. And then the other question was, can you go for a month? Sure, I can go for a month. And so straight over to Australia, culture shock, had a blast. They put me in an Outback Thunder. And of course, first night out, I rolled Outback Thunder right after Craig had put all fancy new suspension on it. So I thought that was it with me. I thought they were going to get rid of me. But I got to spend some time over in Australia with Dan Patrick and Craig and a whole bunch of other guys. But they brought me back. So what I thought was going to be the end of my career or you know, my tour of Australia ended up being full time for 3 years and driving all their trucks. God, we had 12 trucks at a time. And 6 trucks would get sent to the next show. And I would be there and with other guys helping, but we would put the 6 trucks together, make sure they were ready for the show. We'd all do the show. Some nights, Clive and I, we'd drive 2 to 3 trucks a night, jump out of one, jump in the next. Everything from doing the fireworks, whatever it took to put this show on, we did it. And then we'd load up those trucks at the end of the show, and I'd fly out to the next show and work on those 6 trucks, get them ready for the show. So we did this for 3 years, Craig did it for over, I don't know, 8 to 10 years. But Craig was working. He was running Monster Jam. He was running Tom Mintz's truck, Max D. So Craig couldn't go to Australia. That's how I got shipped over in the winter. Craig would do all the summertime. I did all the winter. It was a lot of fun.
So you make a big transition over to Australia. Was there any big differences between United States shows and Australia shows?
Yeah. We toned it down a lot over in Australia because we're running in like the fairgrounds. They called them showgrounds. And then we did a lot of training, trying to teach new guys how to drive to our experiences. We had to tone it down because we were used to running hard and heavy and in a lot of air. Tone it down a little bit, do a little bit more artistic, have a lot more fun. There was no stress. Absolutely. You know, there is no stress for me in any of this, but there was no racing, anything. It was just purely freestyle. Just go out there and do whatever you wanted to do. And get out of one truck and jump into another. Do whatever you wanted to do. It was a lot of fun. I've run shows over here in the United States just like that. You know, they're strictly entertainment.
Yeah, and I think we ask these questions too, just maybe for some people that don't, you know, understand the Australian monster truck game. And since you were such in the trenches, you know, you just talked about the events. What about the trucks themselves? Are there any major differences from how they perform or built in the U.S. to what they are in Australia?
Well, the trucks, most of the trucks over there were from the U.S. shipped over. They were our leftovers. As a matter of fact, Scooby-Doo was the original bounty hunter that I drove. So the bounty hunter I drove in 1997, and then I go to Australia in 2009, I get in Scooby-Doo, and I'm like, this truck looks really familiar after all those years. Felt right at home all over again. So as far as any difference goes, Craig Christensen and I and a couple of the guys, you know, mostly Craig, came over and brought all those trucks in that camp up to U.S. standards. I mean, good engines, good running gear. Clive spent a fortune getting his trucks all up to the safety standards and they were competitive. They were Monster Jam competitive. They were toughest tour competitive. By the time we were done with them, we redid everything. So they had a great bunch of trucks by the time we were done.
And there were so many unique identities down in Australia at that time. Still are, but looking at your list of trucks, I see like Batman and Taz and Scooby-Doo, you know, Monster Patrol. These are big name trucks that you're all involved with down there.
Oh, yeah. Taz, matter of fact, I destroyed Taz. That I rolled that truck the last show in Adelaide. It destroyed the body and the cage. So, but I was told to go ahead and do it because that was the last time that truck had ever run. Batman was a kick in the pants. Now, Batman was tough to see out of. Red tinted windows, just the way everything was situated. Taz was an old Terry Woodcock chassis. That was a lot of fun to drive. I liked that truck. Raptors Rampage, that was a new truck that I got to debut over there, and it's still over there. That was a lot of fun with that truck. I'm trying to think, what are the other identities we had? The Outback Thunder trucks, those were already there. Oh, we got Samson. That was a good truck. That was an amazing truck to drive. Really enjoyed that. What else we had? Freak Show.
Yes, talk to us about Freak Show.
So there's controversy over on the name, but anyway, that was our freak show, the Australian one. Short wheelbase. Craig built this thing. Somebody had started building this chassis and left it in the back of the shop over there. So when Craig and I got there, we were like, this would be cool. Let's when we get all the scrap parts, let's put this small chassis together. It was like driving a skid steer. The thing would just bounce out of control, and we were trying to do backflips with it, forward momentum backflips. But it had an incredible cage built strictly for backflips, for falling over. But I was doing a race. Actually, I was doing a display in Perth and with other trucks. And I wasn't supposed to race that. I was going to race Raptors. But something happened to my rear steering or transmission went out. I don't remember. So I got in Freak Show and raced and beat everybody racing. And like I said, the short wheelbase on that is it acts like a skid steer out of control. If you've ever seen one of those or drove one of those, it just teeter totters out of control. And it actually, I won the racing. There's some video somewhere. I'd love to dig that out and see it again.
Oh, we actually have a photo of one of your backflip attempts. Why don't you walk us through what happened here?
At what point? So this is the forward momentum backflip I was telling you about. Normally, everybody's succeeding by hitting the dumpsters and flipping backwards. We actually had it figured out how to do forward momentum, but we hadn't got the speed right. We were constantly changing the ramps. Since the very top car had to move, as soon as the front tires hit it, it had to move so the rear tires didn't hit it. So we were really close into figuring this out. But by the time we'd done this show, the powers that be put a stop to it. There was just too much money into this truck, constantly destroying it.
Well, we have the aftermath right here.
So was that cage reinforced at all?
Yes. Yeah, I was quite safe in that cage. It's, you know, Craig built that cage just for this. Plus, I landed in all the crushed cars. They take most of the impact.
Yeah, I see some tires in the cars as well.
Yeah, that's always incredible. That truck was just, I mean, that clip of you doing the flip has become kind of pseudo viral in, you know, monster truck land. And it's crazy now looking at the evolution of the backflip in a truck. And actually, we have video from one of your more recent attempts, if you want to pull it up.
Yes, we have it right here.
That was American Soldier.
So what was that ride like?
You know, as long as you land on the tires, it's quite soft. There's no suspension in that cage when you land on the roof. And if I'd had a little bit more experience in doing – that was my very first wall, you know, hitting the wall to do the backflip. I probably would have known where I was and been able to throttle it over one more time and land it. But I didn't. I really thought I had it. And when I came down, it bounced again. I was not expecting that.
So do you think you'll ever attempt a backflip again?
Let's ask Craig Christensen, see if I'm allowed to. He's the one that has to pay for all the damage I seem to do.
Man, he's such a good friend. I don't know. You can trust him.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
I wouldn't be in this industry if it wasn't. There's a lot of people, you know, my friends, my family that made it possible, but he's the one that's kept me in it all this time. Even when I stepped out, he's the one that called and says, get back here. I need you. Let's do this. I don't know if he just couldn't find anybody else or if he actually really trusts me that much.
No, it's such a great dynamic that you guys have. And that leads me to ask, you know, you've known Craig for so many years now. Has he changed over the years, or he's just the same guy that you met from way back when?
Oh, dear. Yeah, we all change. He doesn't seem to let things bother him as much as he used to. You know, as we get older, a lot of things just don't matter anymore. And he has a lot more fun. He's, you know, he's struggled through this business. He's worked harder than just about anybody I know. But he's just as giving as he ever was the day I first met him. And it's just as honoring and still picks on me and I give it back. But yeah, I've seen him help people that didn't ask for it and needed something. Just amazing person. So like I said, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be talking right now. So I've got to give a big thanks to him.
So what is your best Craig Christensen story?
Well, when I was running with Jimmy, we were headed to California. I don't know where we were, but the transmission on my van, it blew a cap off. So, of course, I've got transmission fluid all over the place. The whole team pulls over. Craig pulls over. Jimmy pulls over. And Craig jumps in his semi. He's got a big sleeper camper on the back. Beautiful. And opens up a can of soup and dumps the soup out, cleans the can up. Crawls under my van, silicones this soup can, shoves it in the hole, tapes it all up, pours the transmission fluid, and says, let's go.
What a classic. You know, since we're on the story train, I know when we were doing our test the other night, we were talking about our good friends, Mike Welch and Jeff Boehner, the Hall of Famers, and you said you've have a story to tell or two from those guys. Do you have anything you could share? Throw it right back at them.
So my first introduction to Mike Welch is Craig and I are going through Oregon somewhere, and back road, middle of nowhere, and then we see a monster truck in the ditch upside down. I'm like, well, that's kind of odd. And just up the road a little bit, there's another monster truck laying on its side. And we're thinking, some guy just lost his load of monster trucks. So Mike would set up for his shows. He would display his trucks like that all over town, in the ditch, upside down. I thought it was genius. But first coming up, when you first came across all this, you're just like, what in the heck is going on? So that was my introduction to Mike Welch. Great guy. Had a lot of fun. Definitely does things a lot different. Jeff Boehner, you know, I just really enjoyed running with him. See, and hearing all his – I wasn't around for Hot Stuff and the other Jeep. What is it, Livewire? Cannot remember. But just had a lot of fun running with those guys in the old days.
Can't beat the classics. That's why we always got to give them a little bit whenever we get the chance, you know. Well, yeah, I think it's about – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, there's a whole list of names I've been just blessed to have been around. And these guys, they started way before me. They've worked a lot harder than I have to get to where they are. I've just really enjoyed being where I am today in this sport.
For sure. Do you have any good Jimmy Creighton stories?
Good Jimmy Creighton stories?
Yeah. Oh,
man. Okay, yeah. Jimmy Creighton stories.
When I first was running for Jimmy, we were doing a show down in Arizona. It's the very first time I beat Gravedigger. And so the first night, Bounty Hunter and I couldn't do any wrong. We beat everybody. We took first. I even got a t-shirt from Gravedigger for that night. I beat Gravedigger when we cleared the dead man. I beat him, but my tire caught the dead man, ripped that front axle right off, went through the wall. Jimmy had to fix the wall. So the next night, or that night, we stayed up all night putting that thing together. And he says, whatever you do, don't hit the wall. Well, I don't know if it wasn't much of a funny story, but it was just, that's my Jimmy story. I don't have a whole lot of those.
Fair enough.
It's that time of the hour. We went over some photos, but we got a lot more. It's time for Explain That Photo. Yeah. Rules are simple. Explain that photo. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Welding repairs on Batman.
Nice.
I don't even know who took that photo. Yeah, so there's the Batman. If you look at the windows, you can see how red tinted they are. But, yeah, that's me trying to weld something. Probably the chassis. Hey, that's the whole crew for South Pacific World Finals. Me on the left. There's Jimmy Kohler, Dan Patrick. That's I'm gonna get my glasses here. I see Craig, Paul, Clive, and Paul Jensen. So yeah, the two Pauls.
Paul Jensen. How can you miss Paul Jensen?
Well, see, I'm back on the phone. See, I'm looking in the phone.
I'm sorry.
That's your world finals, all of us competitors for the world finals in Australia.
That's awesome. Got another one here.
Ah, so that's Dragon Slayer. That's me. That would be somewhere in Utah. And under the guidance of Craig, I was still pretty young, or you knew. He's standing in the background telling me when to throttle and when to do everything. It's probably one of my biggest air jumps back then.
Do you remember how the landing was in that jump?
That landing went very well. As a matter of fact, it blew out the windshield and split the front axle in two places. So I was turning around to come back for another hit, and Craig put me to a stop. I didn't even know it had broken the front axle, but I was holding onto the window, the windshield, with one hand, getting ready to do another jump. That's Leroy. I only got to drive that for a couple shows, and then it became Freak, I believe. That is the old Freak Show chassis with a new body on. So no more backflipping in that truck because the body was worth more than the whole chassis.
So did that body end up breaking?
No, I did not break that body. No.
You got out on that one. I'm sure somebody did.
Got a pass.
I'm probably in trouble here, but don't know it. With the look of Craig's face. But I'm smiling because I obviously broke something. Yeah, that's me and Avenger. I like that truck. I had a lot of fun with that. I think that's I did wreck that truck. There's not many trucks I don't think I haven't wrecked yet. I'm working on it.
You're very proud of the wrecks you've conquered.
Well, I didn't used to be. I was quite embarrassed, but it's the only thing people know me for, I guess.
Well, you got a pass with Leroy, at least. We have one more phone for you.
That's the whole – well, not even the whole crew. That's our last day we were in Scotland, and that's the whole Hot Wheels Monster Trucks Live crew. That was a – wow, what a lot of fun. We were even – Craig and I were able to bring our wives along for that one.
You know, looking at this team photo, it's, you know, you're out there in Europe and you guys are just traveling all around to different cities. There have been a lot of memories made, not even at the events, just being out there in Europe.
What an incredible – we called it a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but at the end of the show, we were told they want us back. We were going to do – we would have been over there this year. We made it. They were happy with us. So, unfortunately, it became a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but we made the best of it. We saw everything we could see. They took such good care of us. Everything was catered. We were treated like royalty. It was a lot of fun.
You know, it's always great to see a lot of fun out on the roads there. And I'm very fortunate you guys were able to complete that tour out in Europe before the pandemic really took over.
Yeah, literally, we got home just before. We were worried about not being able to get out because of the snowstorms that were hitting. A lot of the planes were delayed in Scotland. You know, one of the things about Europe was they weren't quite used to all these monster truck shows, so they were just in awe. It was the kids, everybody, even the adults. I think the adults had more fun than the kids. They made it so much fun. We actually did three-hour pit parties, and that was just during part of the show. We spent a lot of time with the fans over there. Poland and Denmark, there was a language barrier, but somehow we were able to, you know, get by and communicate with translators or just international, you know, hi, how are you doing? We tried to learn a few of their languages, but Europe was a lot of fun. They really enjoyed having us over there. To this day, I still get emails or posts on Facebook asking us when we're going to come back and that they loved it.
And that's just so incredible. And, you know, your whole career, you've just been able to travel so many incredible places. Do you have a favorite that just stands out among the rest?
You know what? I'm still pretty happy right here in the United States. There's more places around the world I want to go. Australia was a lot of fun. And amazing. I'd love to go back there, but none of them stand out. They all stand out pretty cool. We saw a lot of places in Europe. I saw the entire continent of Australia three times we toured it. But still, I think the United States is still one of the most fun places I've ever been able to tour.
a lot of touring, and, you know, I'm looking back at Australia, and we showed that picture of Avenger. That was, I think that was from the South Pacific World Finals. Because obviously Jim was there. That's silly.
Jim.
Why did I say that? But, yeah, looking at that picture, that was pretty cool. They got to represent Jim Koehler in a completely different country.
Yeah, that so Jim was going to – I was just over there again as crew guy to help. They didn't have a truck for me to drive. And Jim was going to drive the new Bugs Bunny looking thing or whatever. And that didn't work out. So they were putting the Raptors Rampage on that chassis. And then all of a sudden this other chassis showed up that Craig and I put together, and they were at the last minute able to get an Avenger body or replica. Perfect for Jim. It was perfect for him to run the World Finals with. But after the World Finals, we changed some shocks, tires, and then I drove that truck for quite a bit. I drove that and a couple of the other trucks. I would drive two or three trucks a night per show. And that's, to me, right there. That I had more fun being able to jump out of one truck and get into another. I would rather be able to do that all night long at these shows instead of just sit in one truck and wait your turn. I'd get out of one, get back in the other. That was the best.
And, you know, Craig did that for a good bit, too, and so did Clive Featherby. And I'm sure the Australians, I don't know if they're awake right now when we're doing this live, so I'm sure they'll catch back on the replay. But, you know, you got to work a lot with Clive Featherby. Do you have any good Clive stories?
Everything about Clive is a good story. He took really good care of us over there. He's a character. He's always pretty much – he's either happy or yelling at you, but most of the time he's happy.
Vincent, I think you had a question lined up.
Yeah. So how would you describe your driving style for those who haven't seen you drive? Like, do you have a particular move you want to do every time you're on the track, a slap wheelie, sky wheelie, big air? What's Corey Karp like on the track?
As far as freestyle goes, it depends on the track and me and the truck. If some trucks we like to do slap wheelies. They're real easy. I like a lot of air if I can do that. Mostly, I get a bigger rush out of racing. That if the truck's set up right, racing gives me a big rush. Freestyle is pretty much just total relax and do whatever will happen. I've been trying to learn to do the two wheels. Not really big on the stoppies yet, but I think that's something we need to look at. Everybody else is doing it. It's really hard on the trucks, but I definitely want to tip it to the side and drive on two wheels. I think that would be – we've tried it. I haven't succeeded at it, but maybe that'll be my signature.
A lot of signature moves. You know, it's funny we ask that, and it's after we talk about a lot of your crashes and saying maybe that's what you're known for. So I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
Yeah, my signature move, I guess, is showing everybody what the underside of the truck looks like.
So what crash stands out to you the most?
I still think Blacksmith crash stands out the most. That was the hardest hit. It left bruises right here. But I've had more violent crashes that didn't seem to affect. I took Raptors Rampage and cartwheeled it. But I didn't feel a thing. It was probably a more violent wreck than Blacksmith, but Blacksmith hurt a little bit coming down like that.
You know, I see, you brought some memorabilia out in your background tonight. what can we see in the background that, not every other person has in their house?
So that's what's left of Wicked. That's my, let's see. There's the retired gloves and the retired shoes from Mitch's Auto Works, Mitch Murphy. He bought me a brand new set for Europe, sponsored me. The Wicked shirt. Let's see. We've got the Toughest Tour. That's my trophy. This actually belongs to Craig. I don't know how I ended up with it, but he'd given it to a good friend of ours that passed away, and the family gave it back to me. And that was also from the Toughest Tour. And then, here, this is what they gave us at the end of the season
of the toughest tour. So picture Wicked. I told Craig I'm taking it home. He can't have it. So.
So do you have like all your little toy trucks? Like obviously the V8 Bomber and Blacksmith from over the years.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I used to buy those and then just give them away, autograph them and give them to the kids. But I'm just about out of them now. Hard to find Blacksmith.
So if you could drive any truck, past or present, what would that truck be?
Any truck? I would like to have Wicked back, I think. Because even though that was somebody else, it was Craig's identity. We were able to change it, and it became my identity also. So I think I'd take Wicked back, definitely.
That you know, that Wicked is just such a wicked body. I would also agree. I'd love to have it back, but
Mr. Pun over here.
Yeah, Mr. Pun over here. But no, I kind of look at, you know, knowing that your career has spanned so many years, and it's interesting. I feel like you're more active now than you've been in so many years past. Do you also feel the same way?
Yeah, getting to do Toughest Tour and Hot Wheels brought me back quite a bit. Nobody really saw how active I was over in Australia. You know, we didn't have a lot of video over here. And then also when we were doing when I was running Blacksmith, there just wasn't a lot of video. There was no Facebook, nothing back then to, you know, help promote all the things we did. So even though I was very active, there's just not a lot of pictures and stuff to go back on as there is now. Everything I can do, I can share with on Facebook. So it seems like I'm a lot more active. I had to step out of it for a few years too. So these last 2 years have been great, full time. We'll see what this coming year is going to be. Craig's already got us scheduled for the summer. I hope we'll see.
Yeah, and that's a very exciting. And I make that comment because there are a lot of maybe some of the newer fans that aren't familiar with a lot of that work, and they just know you from V8 Bomber because they have that toy at home, or some of the diehards know you from the Toughest Monster Truck Tour. They don't realize that you've lived a life in a completely different country and then some.
Yeah, it's – and it was a little bit of a culture shock to go over there. But, you know, we were so welcomed in. When I say welcomed in, they'll dog you, they'll tease you, they'll make fun of you, but they've got your back at the end of the day. And nobody got to see all the hard work we got to do over there, taking care of 12 trucks with a crew of guys that didn't have a whole lot of experience. Once again, you know, you fall back on everything Craig's taught you to. These trucks have to run to get paid. Plain and simple. If the truck's not running, you don't make money. So I made sure those trucks ran no matter what it took. We were changing, you know, hot transmissions between laps, shocks, whatever. It's probably the hardest job I ever loved, if that makes any sense.
Man, can you see yourself doing anything? I mean, you're a jack of all trades with all these different businesses you've been in, but can you really picture yourself not being involved with monster trucks in any capacity?
No, I don't think I ever want to step out. I don't mind stepping down again, but I don't want to step out. If it means hopefully maybe I can get my grandkids involved, or, you know, helping somebody else, maybe promoting shows or just being in the background somehow, I don't see how I could ever step away. Been in it too long.
And, you know, that's such a good point because, you know, you've had so many part-time runs in your career, and you know, we mentioned a little bit where you would be training a lot of the people to come into those trucks. You know, here in the States, a lot of those guys were Craig's kids. You know, you're talking about, you know, Mike and Brian and Paul. A lot of these, you're right there with them. What was that like?
Yeah, they were too young to even think about driving when I first went to work for Craig. And now look, watching these guys surpass my abilities to be able to drive. It's been, you know, great to watch them stay with it. All his kids have stepped in somehow or another and made a good name for themselves. And I'm proud to have been there when they started.
And a lot of the kids we've had on as guests, so I will put them on the spot again. You know, do you have any you have a key story that maybe sticks out from seeing a young Mike Christensen or Paul Jensen or some one of them inside of a truck?
You know, Mike, I've saved his life a couple times. We were in Hawaii, and the tide came, and it just took Mikey away. And I just happened to be the only one that could swim out and grab him. Another time we were floating down the river, and Mikey got away on the inner tube, fell out. He was about ready to drown there. I swam out and got him. So the biggest fun, the biggest joke with him now is, and Mike, you owe me one. You owe me. You got to save my life one of these days. Now that you're a big and famous racer. I got another good little story, though. It's when I told you about how I crewed for Craig Christensen in 95 and then and met him again in 97 and he didn't remember me at all. And I'm like, you sure? I crewed for you that whole night and you showed off your new truck and everything. You don't remember me? No, don't remember you. To this day, he says that. So in Missoula, Montana, I was doing a show and this young man came and helped me out, helped me tire everything and crewed for me. And that was great. You know, I really appreciated the help. And then years go by and I meet Darren Schnell, driver of Bigfoot. And he's like, that was me. I was the guy that came and helped you and crewed for you in Missoula. And I'm like, geez, yeah, I remember a guy helped, but I said, sorry, I do not remember you. So now I know what Craig felt like.
Man, you big time Bigfoot driver.
Yeah.
That's incredible. You know, I'm going to probably text Mike here and probably crack a hang loose joke. It's funny because he ran that hang loose truck for a cup of coffee. And it's very fitting. You know, you saved him from a tide. So it's all comes full circle.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think of him as family.
Dig yourself a grave, Phil.
No, hey, I'll do it. I'm fine with that. But no, it's not just the – it's not just a lot of the kids here in America, you know, out in Australia, I know that comes to mind is, you know, Hayden McLeary has become such a big face down there. And guys maybe like Jack Monkhouse or Hayden Francis and some names that have become veterans in Australia. What about some of the young guys from Australia that you got a hold of?
Well, yeah, Hayden McLeary, we pretty much helped coach him into the truck. I was pretty hard on him. I wanted him to learn all the ins and outs of the truck. Before he got to drive, he became a great driver. Jack was a natural. You didn't have to teach him much. He just pretty much watch and do that. But yeah, Hayden became a great driver. What a lot of fun to watch him grow up from just sitting. He'd have to come work with me in the shop. And I know he didn't care for it. He liked working with me, but I was hard on him. I was like, you got to learn how to do this before you drive. So he did it.
Yeah, and I just always find that so fascinating how, you know, for having just such a part-time career, you went down to Australia and you're really a big part of growing that, you know, the sport in Australia. I mean, it's still going very strong today, and it's I feel like it was at such a peak when you guys were down there. Do you reflect on that and realize that you had such a big impact on bringing the sport such prominence in another country?
Yeah, I mean, from the shows they did when we first started to how they run their trucks now, huge difference. Doing the Adelaide show, we first started doing those. Don't tear up the grass. Stay off the grass. Don't do this. No dirt in there. To now, you know, that's Monster Jam. High flying, lots of fun. Yeah, so just the influence of us being over there. You know, you only drive, I'm trying to think, one of the Bigfoot guys told me when I beat him once, I think it was, I can't remember, Eric Meager or Tack. I said, I can't believe I beat you. And he says, well, we haven't been running with you guys. We haven't been running as hard as you. He says, when you guys run as hard as you do every day, and the guys that don't run as hard as you do every day, it's hard to catch up. So when we got to Australia, even though those guys were running every day, they weren't used to running as hard as we did. We had to tone it back and then bring them up with us, teach them how the truck lands at higher speeds, how to drive out of it. You know, the biggest thing still is we're not over there to crash on purpose. We still want to pull it out and we still want the crazy saves. And, that's what we were trying to teach them a lot was be wild and crazy and still try to pull the save off.
I actually have a comment here from Paul Jensen, and he says, the first time Craig ever sent me to crew was for Corey and BJ Johnson in Colorado for Monster Jam. Now, what was that like?
That's right. I forgot about that. That poor guy. He was just a kid back then, I think. Yeah. And then running with BJ and I, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's time. Those are stories for another day, I'm sure.
BJ blew up a rear end. Corey's motor was having problems, and I think they both rolled over.
That's a way to break in a crew guy right the first time. Just throw him in hot and heavy. Get this change. Do this. Nice thing about Paul and BJ and myself is we were taught if those trucks don't run, you don't get paid. So everything had to be put back together and run again.
So you know, you've accomplished a lot in the monster truck industry, but when it comes down to your best accomplishment, what would that be?
I don't think I'm there yet. I think I've got more accomplishments to do. The big one, I don't have a big one. I think there are so many other people that have surpassed me on a lot of the stuff with monster trucks. I just try to follow in their footsteps and have fun.
No, it's such a lot of fun. But if you've had to have a favorite moment thus far, what would you say?
Favorite moment? So we'll bring BJ back. Craig sends BJ and I down to an air show, Tom Mentz down there, and he sends us down with the ride truck. And we're two hot and heavy young monster truck drivers. We're not ride truck drivers. So anyway, BJ talks the water truck into watering the heck out of the track. And he gets a load of husbands, wives. Everybody seems to be wearing white. And he does the best Brody's with me hanging off the back of this ride truck. And we've got mud all over the place, all over these people. Unbelievable. They get off, and BJ and I are just going, man, they're going to be upset. And these people are raving. They're covered in mud. There's a line of people ready to get on and get muddy at the ride on the ride truck at this air show, monster truck air show. Tom Mintz is there jumping. Everybody. And the guy in charge, and I think this was a Monster Jam event also. I'm pretty sure it was Kevin Spielman, somebody. Anyway, he goes, after we muddied all those people, he says, that is the last time I will ever allow monster truck drivers to run a ride truck at my event.
It's only at an air show. That's not even. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that that Tom Mintz wreck where he literally cartwheels time after time in a long run? That was the air show we were doing.
Was that out in Arizona? I could be old.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. That's the one.
Well, lucky for you, we live in Arizona, so I kind of know what you're talking about. We weren't here when that happened, but I know the
story. Look who showed up. And Craig says, don't have Corey drive rental cars in Hawaii.
Well, he can't. Yeah. You've seen Days of Thunder, the rental car. Gosh, that goes way back. Anyway, there's, you know, when you have a rental car, you kind of black out. You just drive. That was the old days, remind you now. But yeah. Get the rental car syndrome. And we drag raced all over Hawaii, side by side in those rental cars everywhere we went. Yeah, I don't think my wife ever wanted to ride with me again.
Would you say that's your best rental car story? I know that's always one of the old pastimes.
Yeah, definitely best rental car story. Those cars came back caked with that red clay mud that stains everything. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I don't think the rental car company was too happy with us back then.
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate the boss stopping in the comments. Who knows? Maybe we have the boss on a podcast episode in the future. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But, you know, thinking about some of the places you traveled, another country I just came in my head was Mexico. Did you ever go down to Mexico for any events?
We didn't do any events, but Jimmy Creighton and I and Don went down to Mexico. Just to hang out between shows one time.
Yeah, that was fun. That was old days. So that I didn't race with anybody down in Mexico, but as far as the driver went. Yeah, I turned down quite a few shows. I wasn't able to go to China, wasn't able to go to New Zealand. What else? There was a few Craig had me scheduled for that I just couldn't make it. So hopefully there we'll get some more in the future if this all settles down.
Man, good thing you mentioned the China. I remember when some of the Australian trucks went over to China not too long ago. I know that was a very unique event. That would have been pretty cool to have you out there as well.
Yeah, I was actually looking forward to that. Craig says that's another good one to have on the books. And there was a typhoon or something hit. I don't know. So last minute, everything for us got canceled. The guys that flew their trucks over in an airplane, they made it. But the rest of them that were on the ship got turned away.
Man. Well, since you've traveled the world, is there a country or a place that you've never been to that you want to go to? Just in general, it doesn't have to be with monster trucks.
Just in general, I've been so close. I'd like to go back to Italy or not to. I've never been to Italy, but I've been right on the border. So I think it's time I went down either Italy or the French Riviera, somewhere in there. I think that would be cool.
What advice do you have for someone looking to get their foot in the door in the monster truck industry?
So it's going to take a lot of perseverance, a lot of hard work. Start getting to know these people, writing them letters, getting to know them on Facebook. But one thing you gotta be tough. You gotta work hard. It's long hours, a lot of rewards. So I'm not going to say it's not worth it, but it's not all glamorous. So get to know these people and be ready to pay your dues. Some people make it right away. They're lucky. They get put right in a driver's seat. The rest of them have to pay their dues.
That's such an interesting trait. You know, we've talked about it a lot with some of our guests where they see just the glitz and glamour from like social media or on the videos, and they don't really understand a lot of what happens at the event until they're in the event. And at that point, it's too late. So I know you've helped so many people over the years with that. So I'm sure you can attest to obviously the obvious grinds in the monster trucks compared to what you see on the internet to what's actually at the event.
Long hours. Like I said, I got lucky right off the bat. I crewed for Jimmy just for a few shows, and Craig talks him into putting me in the seat. Next thing you know, I'm a driver. And then I go back to crewing, kind of paying my dues again and earning my keep and getting to drive. And then, boom, I'm with, you know, Craig's brought me to the top, and then I go to work for Pablo. That could have been a really good career for me. But it was really hard for me to be away from home that long. It took me a long time to not be home when I wanted to be. So as I got older and the kids got older, it was easier for me to spend more time out on the road. Could have made a better career of it later on in life. So that's why it's a lot easier for me now to have done the Australia tour, the toughest tour, go to Europe, and be away from home now that my kids are old and on their own.
And, you know, that's such a good point and how we really stress now. You're more active now than probably any other singular point in your career. And you have so much stuff planned, I know, for the future. But when it is all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be?
Hopefully that somebody will look back on it and know that I helped them, you know, that they enjoyed the sport because of me, or just an incredible fan that had a great time. But hopefully that some of these guys that are in the sport, I actually helped get there or taught them something. Like I said, I owe a lot to a lot of people because as far as I've gotten with just being a part-time driver, that's pretty cool. When you think about all the hard work a lot of these guys have gotten and they put into it and never made it as far as I have. And then there's other people that didn't have to put out as whole lot of effort, and they made it farther. So luck of the draw, knowing the right people and knowing when to work hard, I suppose. So hopefully I leave a little entertainment and everybody had a good time watching me and make fun of myself or, you know, in my crashes or some of the cool things I've done. I just feel blessed. I feel blessed to be here right now. I'm blessed that I've made it as far as I have in this industry. And like I said, I owe I owe Craig Christensen and my family and my friends and all the fans out there to where I am today. That's what I owe.
And I know my buddy Brian Anger is pretty blessed to have you here tonight. And such a great story here. Would you say so, Vincent? I truly learned a lot of, from Corey Clark here tonight.
Good old Brian Anger. Yeah, I mean, great stories, Corey. It was awesome. I mean, all those crashes were really cool, and definitely excited for what the future holds for you, and hope to see you at a show sometime.
Sounds good. Hope to see you guys again, and maybe we'll get to do this again with Craig or some of the other guys, and maybe I'll have some better stories by then.
Well, we'll hold you to that. I'm sure we will. Thank you so much, Corey. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. You know, Corey Clark is a guy, you know, has been in the sport for a very long time. And, you know, when we were talking, you know, beforehand and really hearing the story, how much part-time work he had in between everything. He's more active now than before. And it's really important where so many people need to hear Corey's story and just know how much impact he had, especially the impact on Australia. I really think without a guy like Corey Clark down there that maybe the sport down in Australia doesn't really function the way it should be.
I mean, you're right. You got to have a solid group of guys to build that foundation. And I think Corey was definitely one of them down in Australia, and definitely a great guy, hard worker, and great hearing his story tonight, and excited for what the future has for him.
Absolutely. And I'm sure they'll be all back here soon. And who knows, we'll try to get the boss on here, Craig Christensen, at some point, or some of the other folks from the KCM's past. We've had quite a few of them. If you haven't seen in our archives, so if you enjoyed Corey's story, I'll go into my end of show spiel. If you want to catch up on some of our past episodes, we've had a lot of past drivers from Team KCM on our podcast. You can check them out in our archives on that video tab, live podcast episodes. Or we have a live tab now as well. You can just check out that live tab. You'll see all of our past episodes. You can catch up there. Our episodes are also audio only wherever you can find podcasts. All the major carriers, so Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, goodness gracious, Audible. There's so many places now. Wherever you can find audio podcasts, you can find our podcast there, audio only. So wherever you're on the go, in the car, at work, at the gym, wherever, on the airplane, you can hear our podcast in audio only form. And of course, if you enjoyed tonight's video, make sure you smash that like button, you hit that share button before you leave here tonight so more people can catch up and listen to Corey's episode, especially maybe some of the folks in Australia. I don't know what time it is in Australia, but if it's an off hour, I'm sure they'll catch up and hear the episode as well in our archives. So make sure you share this video as well so more people can come back and listen to Corey's episode at any time. And as we always say, we're not slowing down here. At least that's not the plan. And you never know who's going to come on here next. We like telling different stories and having our guests on here and just enjoy themselves. And I know everybody's enjoying what we're doing here. So we really appreciate everybody tuning in every week and keeping us going here. Obviously, if nobody's watching, we don't do this.
Well, I always begin to show spiel, Phil, but it's just hard not to believe that you don't have a script in your hand somewhere.
This is episode 36 on number and plus two encore. So we've done at least 38, 39 of these, well, plus the intro video. So we've been doing this for almost a full year in terms of episodes. So we got the gist here. Hopefully we'll be back here next week. No, hopefully. Of course we will. What am I saying, Phil? I don't leave this chair. So we'll see you here next week for another episode of the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast.